You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
I love a good party. I love to entertain, as many of you are aware. I get a lot of joy from having people over to the house, enjoying the food, enjoying, shall we call them, the beverages of choice, the company, and the general good time that takes place. Yes, I love a party, except at 3 a.m., when the bass notes are still rumbling in the night air at an event that should have ended hours before, when the voices at 3 a.m. are way too loud, and when posses of people are wandering the neighborhood streets in what we would call various altered states. It's at that point, friends, that I have less than kind thoughts. I'll confess it. Those thoughts are racing through my mind, and I suspect that's what the neighbors were thinking on that Pentecost day, when things went wild with the disciples. And the neighborhood assessment seemed to be that they were drunk. Now the response, well, they can't be drunk. It's only 10 a.m. Come on, that's a bit ludicrous for those of us that live in West Los Angeles. If I've noticed anything here, the time of day makes no difference whatsoever, right? Well, Jerusalem, we know, was a busy place that day. It was a time of celebration, a celebration called the Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. It was a holiday that had a double meaning for the Jewish people. Part of the celebration that day focused on a celebration of the day that the Torah was given to God's people when they gathered at Mount Sinai, an event that happened far back in their history. It was also a celebration of the first fruits of various crops, and marked the harvesting of the grain. Now, because most of ancient Israel was agrarian, this festival of first fruits was a big deal, and it involved lots of people. So the temple at that time was a very, very busy place as the offerings, the first fruits of the farming were brought in. And when you think about it, it really serves as quite a poetic background for the Pentecost story. Think about it. First, happening all around them is this remembrance and this celebration of God coming into the midst of the people when Moses presented them with the gift of the law. And second, it was a celebration of God's providence, the new crop, the harvest, something for which a thank offering was most appropriate. So when you think about it, it's the perfect day, the perfect event for our story. Well, the disciples, as we know, found themselves at a very interesting juncture. Stories had been circulating, which the gospel writers later recorded for us. These stories suggested that there had been an appearance, in fact, many appearances, of the risen Christ to those who followed him. Jesus, it was told, had prepared his followers for this time, and how there was going to be a new work taking place. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, would become manifest in the world. You see, this was to be another kind of gift to God's people, not unlike the gift of the law and the gift of the first fruits. Well, it would probably be safe to assume, based on what we learn in the Gospels and what we read in the Acts of the Apostles, that there was general knowledge of this band of followers of Jesus, and there were stories that were circulating. They had to have been, when you consider all the strange events these people were talking about. And I imagine there were plenty who thought these followers, this bunch of disciples, were just plain old crazy. And the wild behavior of that eventful morning just added to a growing list of irritants. To say that they were filled with new wine, that they were drunk, was more than just an observation. It was probably a way to make fun of or ridicule this group of people who were choosing not to be part of the status quo. Maybe were even considered to be troublemakers, people that perhaps were now being suggested were from the wrong side of the tracks. When you think about it, what better way to marginalize a group of people than to call them names? It worked so well in the first century. In fact, it seems to have become an art form for certain individuals, even in our modern context. Of course, now that we are living on the other side of this story, we know they weren't drunk. At least we think they weren't drunk. And it represented God choosing to be at work among the people in a new way in this world. You see, these followers of Jesus were going to be part of a time of great transition that was not only going to change them and to change their Jewish faith, it was going to change the world. Their actions would eventually cause them to split from the religious tradition of which they had been a part for so long, and they were now at a crossroads and they were opting for a new path. In many respects, when you think about it, it was the predecessor to the many reform movements that have continued to take place, that we have seen happen in the Christian faith for the following two millennia. They're drunk may even be words that are pointed at us, even today, for those who choose to follow Jesus. In some respect, maybe those that say it are right. There is enough done and said, friends, in the name of religion in this country that is crazy beyond belief. To say that science is wrong and has nothing to offer, it's not rational. To suggest that not all people are equal value in God's sight and that entire groups of people are to be condemned is not only indicative of deep-held racism and deeply held prejudices, it is just plain old evil. To have leaders announce that we don't have to worry about the climate change because we will leave it to God to fix it is a special kind of insanity. Yes, to the average person, it is quite easy, friends, to dismiss all of Christianity as a bunch of drunk, out-of-control, fear-mongering, babbling idiots. Then, there are those of us who still cling to this. Some might suggest foolishly, but we dare to cling to a vision of church and faith community that is built entirely on Jesus' teaching of loving God and loving neighbor. There are those who are followers of Jesus, who believe in God, who do not fear the world, who do not fear science, who do not fear people of different ethnicity or different countries of origin. There are those of us who long ago realized that excluding persons from ministry positions or life in the church because of their sexuality is in direct conflict with Jesus' teaching. There are many who believe we are not called to hide behind the doors of the church, but instead to engage in the life of the community. Yes, there are many within Christianity who will look at us and will say they're drunk. Well, friends, if this is the case, then pour me another round. Because I believe this is the kind of drunkenness to which the Holy Spirit is calling all of us. I believe the Holy Spirit is at work, trying to bring about the transformation of the church so that we set aside the trappings of empire religion and we instead choose to embrace Jesus. Denominational headquarters, layer after layer of institution, conferences, rules, legislation are the work of institution and empire. Developing a deep spirituality, worshiping in community, serving the hurts of the larger community, coming to the collective understanding that each of us are not the centers of our own universe. That's the work of followers of Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the faith community. It is what being church is really about. Church, as we have known it, is morphing in ways that we never expected. And it's generating a lot of fear among some and a lot of the sky is falling mentality. But is that really the case? What if this time of transition is not the triumph of secularism and faithlessness, but instead is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit who is once again instigating a new work. A new work among us. Perhaps what is really happening is that once again, God's people are at a crossroads. And this crossroads gives us an option toward a new expression of faith and a new vitality. Or we can take the path of trying to brace up a crumbling institution that will likely lead to a dead end. One of the ancient hymns of the church, the Veni Creator, uses the words, O Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire and light us with celestial fire. Friends, we need some of that drunken, spirited, celestial fire now more than ever. And when things around us seem crazy and they make no sense, when it feels like up is down and inside is out, that is the time to embrace God's Spirit. That is the time to invite God's inspiration into our midst so that we might dream dreams of something new. Maybe this kind of drunk isn't such a bad thing. What do you think? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.